Radio St. Pete presents Maura Sweeney. Maura Sweeney is an international speaker, author, podcaster, and creator of the Foundations of Happiness e-course, and a resident of St. Petersburg.
Hi, everyone. This is Maura Sweeney, and welcome to episode 21 of the ABCs of Change series. I am so glad you're joining me here today, and whatever day it happens to be for you, may it be a day that ends up giving you a brighter perspective and a better feeling about life and life to come. The ABCs of Now series is all part of my Living Happy Inside Out, and it's designed to help you navigate during this period. I'm calling it of now. It's a time in this world when everything is shifting, changing, and putting people in a place of unease. But my attempts in putting these together for you is so that you may navigate through this process with a sense of inner peace, as well as a hope for tomorrow. This whole series is designed to help you see the power you have to choose, to imagine, and to envision, to set your thoughts, your energies, and your intentions on a better day ahead, and on a better world where you and I can play an active part. Remember that all of this is designed for good and not for evil. It's designed for hope. And so, let me say this before I get started with this episode 21, that when you hear it, even as I got the word, I thought, oh, this is going to charge some people. The word I got for the letter F in this episode 21 is F is for forgiveness. Now, you might say, oh my gosh, Maura, why couldn't you have picked another word for this? Well, I'm not really the one that picks them. They come to me over the course of time. And here's what I got. You will hear a number of stories, as you always do. Obviously, a couple of definitions, which I always deliver. Today, you might even feel like, whoa, is this lady trying to preach to me? I'm a little bit offended because you don't know where I've been and I don't want to forgive. I don't even want to hear it. But this is what I have for you. Remember the old expression that says, just try it on for size. People used to do that with shoes a long time ago when we had direct service picking out shoes. They would say, just try it on for size. Sometimes if we allow ourselves just to step in and try something on, we might realize that there's something new for us that we were not aware of. And we might even like that new thing that we're finding. So that's what I have as, let's say, a preamble to today's podcast, as F is for forgiveness in the ABCs for now. I want to start with a couple of obvious definitions. And then after that, I'm going to give you a definition that I just got this morning. The first is forgiveness. Forgiveness is to grant pardon for or remission of. It's usually an offense or a debt. It's to absolve, to grant pardon to a person, to cease to feel resentment against, or to cancel an indebtedness or liability of something. Some of the synonyms for forgiveness are absolve, excuse. I like this one, forget. Another one is acquit. And I also like this word too as a synonym for forgiveness, and it's called clear. Now, I want to give you some other words that popped up, as I would call them close cousins of the word forgiveness. And remember, we're looking at this word in light of maybe our past. We're looking at it not only through our current circumstance, but also through the rear view window to say, what kind of a role has forgiveness played or maybe not played in my life? And how is it working? And what, if any, things about forgiveness can I take forward with me into the world or the new era that's coming? So let's go into the close cousins of forgiveness. The first is blame. Blame is to hold someone responsible for or something responsible for. It's to find fault with or to censure. Blame is also to blast or damn another. It's to place responsibility for a fault, an error, or something similar, and it's usually followed by on. It's your fault that. Another close cousin I want to include here in this discussion is grudge. We've all probably been familiar with grudges, and I'm going to share with you one of my own. A grudge is a persistent feeling. I want you to think about this. A persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past insult or injury. Synonyms are animosity, antipathy, bad blood, bitterness, enmity, hate, malice, malevolence, maliciousness, spitefulness, and venom. Now, if you were to look at this world that we all live in, how much unforgiveness do you suppose exists? It's everywhere. And I almost want to say that unforgiveness is probably as old as humankind has been. So this morning, I got another definition. It didn't come from the dictionary, but it just came to me probably when I was in the shower or before I went in. A definition for forgiveness. Are you ready? Forgiveness is what we can do with hurts, hates, and mistakes. Those of others as well as our own. I want to say it again. Forgiveness is what we can do with hurts, hates, and mistakes. Others as well as those of our own. Now, the next thing I want to do is go into several stories. And hopefully each one of these stories, or maybe even one of them, will speak to you in a unique way. Every story is going to have its own details. But when people hear a story, at times they will find something that resonates with them and they'll think, oh, you know what? I don't have the same details, but I can relate and this is speaking to me. So keep this in mind, that there may be a story pertaining to forgiveness that all of a sudden you hear and you think, oh, there's an aha moment in this. Maybe there's something that I hadn't thought of before. So here are some stories of forgiveness, mine personally, as well as some other stories of others that I have observed. The first one you might have heard me share before. I was 8 years old, and I want to call this a feeling diminished story about forgiveness. I was 8. I already at that age felt confined, controlled, and diminished. And it was just the way I felt as a child. I guess I wanted to be far more free than I did feel. And I was already carrying, let's say, a vulnerability within me. And this particular thing that happened to me was my first, I would say my lesson, but it was something that just happened within me that really spoke to me. I was 8 years old. I was nearing my 9th birthday. And I was always being put to get to bed at a very early hour, and I didn't like it at all. So I thought I was very smart, and I was going to tell my mother, well, you know, instead of giving me a birthday gift that you have to buy this year for when I turn 9, all I want is one thing. I want to be able to stay up later. I don't know if it meant to 8 or 9 p.m. And my mother immediately refused. Well, I got so angry. Furious within. I felt so frustrated beyond where I had already felt feeling diminished. And for the rest of that day, throughout the night, and waking up the next day, I was carrying such a grudge. I can't even describe it to you, but it was consuming me. Now, I wasn't allowed to say anything aloud to my mother about my displeasure. I just figured she would see it on my face or by my sense of quietude. But later on, the second day, maybe it was the afternoon, I realized something. I felt in my body so miserable that it exceeded any sense of misery I had previously. And it was so awful. And I remember thinking to myself, she's not going to change her mind. And so I can't bother to keep this grudge or this sense of unforgiveness going because my mother is unwilling to give me what I want. And I dropped it. Now, what was so interesting is that it took so much energy out of me in order to hold a grudge. And it made me feel awful, Maybe people in the South say ugly. It made me feel terrible. But the moment I just let it go, and I thought, well, I can't change my circumstances, but I could change my willingness to forgive this situation. And in an instant, I kid you not, in an instant, I felt so much better. Early first lesson, nobody taught it to me. It was just an experience I had. I will tell you that as I got older, I would notice too that I would have to retreat upstairs to my bedroom or to a quiet place when I was around a lot of talk that dealt with grudges that others were holding or unforgiveness. The talk actually made me feel so heavy and ill at ease, let's say, that I had to go away from the talk, find a new spot, and let's say recharge my thought life so that I would feel better. And that, again, had to do with my willingness or let's say unwillingness to accept the grudges or unforgiveness of other people and their stories to maybe infiltrate my sense of well-being. All right, let me go a little further. I was maybe 19 years old. I was at college. And I happened to have a college roommate. I had several during that period. But she was the product of two very nice people. And she's a very outgoing girl. But an interesting thing developed that I noticed. Her mother had been married and widowed even before she was conceived. And then her mother married another gentleman. Somewhere, my roommate learned that her mother's first mother-in-law had mistreated her. Now, although my roommate never met this person that had apparently mistreated her mother, she would tell this story. And I can't remember having heard anything terrible other than the fact that the mother was mistreated, but it went on and on. And I remember saying to my roommate one day, but have you ever met these people? Do you know them? It seems awfully odd that you would be holding such a grudge. Well, the interesting thing was, this young girl, who was a roommate of mine, ended up having that attitude fill and, I would say, color her life in many other ways. And it, as a result, colored a lot of her relationships externally as a result of holding a grudge that I would have called a generational or acquired grudge of unforgiveness. And it colored the way in which she responded or reacted to other people and other relationships. All right, I want to give you another one. This was in my mid to late 20s. I was married to the man I'm still married to, man who I love dearly. Well, people may not realize this, but my husband has a grand love affair with the basketball. He always has. And when we got married, moved to Florida, we were both working in corporate jobs. I was exhausted, but I will tell you this, on a weekend, I wanted to be able to do something with my husband. And frequently, he would not only work long hours, but he would also go out and play basketball. And I could remember feeling very put out when he didn't want to do something with me on the weekend. In fact, I got so furious with the man for not doing what I expected him to do. That one day I came into the kitchen, and it was on a weekend. I said, you know, Jimmy, I just can't take this. I am so upset and so angry with you. I think we're going to need to separate because I cannot play second fiddle to a basketball. And it wasn't that I was looking for another man, but I remember going outside after that, and I sat in the sun, and I felt awful. And I thought, you know what? I'm not interested in any other man. I'm not looking to be spiteful. This man's always going to look to play basketball. I really can't change him. And I realized in that moment I had to forgive him. And then I had to forgive myself for putting myself in a situation where I was telling my husband that I wanted a separation because I knew it was going to hurt me. And I came in and apologized to him. Now, I'm going to call that unforgiveness for denied expectations. I had certain expectations that I brought into my marriage where I thought my husband was going to be my best friend and my entertainment partner. And I realized in that moment that I had to let him go to do what he enjoyed, and secondly, that I had to learn to grow up and find my own ways to have fun and to enjoy myself when I had extra time. So, and I will tell you, the end of that story is somehow my husband became a completely different man after that, thought I was so great, continued playing basketball, but then always somehow made time for me. Okay, here's another story. And I'm going to call this the lifting of appearance story on forgiveness. Back in the late 90s, I had an opportunity to go down to Cuba. And while I was there, I happened to speak with a woman. And we were talking about forgiveness of all things. And somewhere along our conversation, when I was talking about forgiveness, something hit her. Now, I sensed that she was not forgiving herself for something she had done in life. She didn't tell me, but that was the sense that I got. And the moment I talked about forgiveness, and I could actually see it in her eyes. It was like something switched in her. Her eyes opened up, and a smile came on her face. And in that instant, a woman in front of me suddenly appeared 10 years younger. 10 years younger. And I thought to myself, wow, this is unbelievable that whatever unforgiveness was being harbored within this woman's body was just released. And in a moment, and I mean a moment, like as in the twinkling of an eye, the woman lost 10 years of her appearance. She suddenly became lighter, brighter. I couldn't believe it. So there's a story for you too. Now, some of you might be saying, all right, Maura, I hear all this, but you don't know what so-and-so did to me. You don't know what happened in my life. You don't know how terrible things have been at the hands of someone else, maybe who was so evil or someone who hurt me so badly. As I was contemplating this in the past 2 weeks, a woman, a friend of mine who has since moved out of our area, came to mind with a story. And I had known this story many years ago, and I asked her to resend it to me in the mail, and would she mind if I shared it with others? Now, I'm not going to share her name with you. I don't even think she cares about that. But I will tell you that this is a story for someone, perhaps, who has been absolutely devastated by what someone else has done to you or to a loved one. And you don't know where to go with it in your life. My girlfriend, I'm going to call her Kathy. Kathy grew up from the time she was a young girl with a stepfather. Beginning at age 9, she realized there was something unique about this man, that he was quite controlling. He moved the family to an area outside town. He was a dairy farmer. And because the family was outside town, they really didn't have too many opportunities to interact with those around them. This girl, Kathy, assuming that's the name I gave her, from the age of 9 until the age of 19, was absolutely controlled by this man, her stepfather, who appeared at church to be quite a good man, an upstanding citizen. He not only controlled her, not only stalked her, and not only chose her every garment of clothing, had her sew up any buttons that might have been on shirts, close up anything that might have been on a short sleeve underneath her armpit so that dare anyone see her a bra strap, but he was sexually abusing her from the age of 9 through the age of 19. It was constant, and it didn't only end there, that he would on occasion take her out to the shed of his dairy farm and use various implements within her body. The girl was so incredibly shattered, but somehow she managed to find whatever it was within her to escape the situation, and to put this gentleman, I can't call him a gentleman, she said he was evil incarnate. She said to look at his eyes, they were black, and she said he would murder. She put him behind bars. And the story was so incredible, and I have known her for many years, and I even said to her one day, do you realize that years ago when I met you, your voice used to quiver, and it doesn't quiver anymore? This is a woman who went on to get married to the love of her life. She has a healthy, happy marriage. She's got children. She has a successful career, and I mean a successful career. She's very active, and she loves to laugh. And she fully lives life. And in speaking with her in anticipation of today's podcast, I said, what was your turning point? When was it that you decided you weren't going to be this way anymore, or you weren't going to live this way anymore? And she told me a few things. She said, well, first of all, forgiveness was a process. She said she wanted to be free. And she knew she wasn't free. First of all, she wasn't free physically, but had to find a way to get away, but also had to find various ways to walk in freedom. Some of the other things she told me when we were speaking the other day, she said to me, you know, I decided one day that yes, what happened to me, but it would be part of my life, but it wasn't going to be my life. Do you hear the difference? It was part of my life. But it wasn't going to be my life. She said to me, you know, I didn't want others, especially there were many others in her small town that found out what happened. She said, I didn't want other people to see me as a victim. And she said, I didn't want to be carrying an aura about me that said wounded individual on it. Now that's powerful. And everything, again, was a process. She said, Maura, I wanted a healthy life. I wanted a future. And then this one, maybe this will help you if you're listening today. She said, I also came to a realization that what this man did to me was consuming my life. And she said, and as long as what he did to me was consuming my life, this evil-minded individual was actually winning. And she said, I didn't want to give him the benefit of a win. Shall I say that again? I didn't want to give him the benefit of a win. Now, I didn't want to end this podcast at all on a story that was so heavy, but I also believe there's another area of unforgiveness that needs to be spoken of today in this podcast, and this is one that has to relate to money, debts. I mean, there are so many things that people suffer from and reasons that we have for unforgiveness. But one of the obvious ones is money and debt. Somebody owes me, or someone ripped me off. Somebody definitely took advantage of me. And maybe somebody today is listening and they're thinking, I could have had a completely different life because of this. Well, I will tell you that forgiveness actually does relate to debts, and a debt is defined as something, typically money, that is owed or due. Owed or due. So I want to share with you my story, and I will tell you this caveat. Since I was a little girl, I never really cared much about money. My grandmother used to say to me, Maura, at least put a dime in your sneaker when you go out in case you have to make a phone call. Money was not a be-all and end-all for me, so it never held the power, let's say, that many other people allow power to hold over them. But I will share with you a story that involves me. There's a gentleman up in the New York metropolitan area who, knowing I was at a very vulnerable time in my life, extracted a certain sum from me under deceptive cover. And probably many of us have had things like this happen. Well, I did communicate with this man regarding my expectations, and I did so over a certain period of time. Now, I will tell you, this man is aware of his actions because I did inform him of them. I'll also tell you, he sees and views himself, perceives himself, and presents himself as a very ethical, moral individual. He also sees himself as very close to the centers of both power and wealth. But unfortunately, he would repeatedly dodge or ignore my reminders when I would reach out to him. I want to tell you, in my case, there's something in me. I always look to people, number one, to protect them. I love to see people learn and grow and even learn from situations, and as long as they can, to make good decisions. And that was my sense. Sometimes I even wanted to protect people from harming themselves. And other times I've served as an advocate to say, do you see what's coming? You still have time. Go and make a change. Do the right thing. Well, in this case, it was not too long ago. I was just told with this man, just drop it. It was something I got within me. Now, I will tell you this. Up until now, I would have never said anything publicly about this particular situation that had involved me. But I do know this individual because this is a behavior pattern of him, of his, that he will eventually find that his behavior patterns will come to light, as most things do. And when that happens, I know that I will step in and I will add further credence as another individual who can attest to someone having defrauded another person. So there are various ways that we do things. I will tell you, I don't hold a grudge. I don't hold any unforgiveness for things like that. Now, let me finish up by saying a few things here. I'm going to repeat again. Forgiveness is what you can do with hurts, hates, and mistakes. I'll also tell you, there's a mood, a feeling, a heaviness, and sometimes even a consuming flame that demands refueling when unforgiveness enters into our psyche. I want you to think about that. A flame that demands refueling when unforgiveness enters into our psyche. And somewhere in there, there's actually a choice. I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. Number one, Albert Einstein, he said, "The world we've created is a product of our thinking. We cannot change it," meaning the world, "unless we change our thinking." Now, we could think about it on an individual level, and then we could think about it on a collective level. I want you to know that each one of us is a little mini force field. So how do we choose to use and protect our force field? Do we author and guard it, or do we unwittingly allow the force field of others to infiltrate, to insinuate, or even co-opt the peace that we can keep in our own force field and possibly use it for some other purpose than what we would choose if we were really awake and alert to who we are from within? So I hope today you might want to look at forgiveness in new ways moving forward. Think about employing forgiveness to help create not only a better world in the force field where you live as an individual, but also the force field that you beam out into this world and also the world that comes. So I hope today was something helpful. You might have gotten a little offended with me, but hope you'll forgive me, no pun intended. And until the next time, I hope that you will find your own peace and your happiness within. This has been Maura with Maura for You.
A message from St. Petersburg resident Maura Sweeney, international speaker, author, podcaster, and creator of the Foundations of Happiness e-course. To find more messages from Maura Sweeney, visit the Radio St. Pete archive at TampaBayPodcasts.com.